Why today?
NATO extends the Libyan campaign, but what does it mean? Meanwhile, the Republicans say to Obama, cut more spending or else. And Palin is being coy about whether or not she's going to run for president. Would you vote for her if she ran? Well, of course, she has to get the Republican nod. That's where we start here on this hour of America Tonight. Hello, everybody. What a weird week, huh? You might have come off of an extra day or two, maybe, for Memorial Day, and you're back in the saddle. And it's, I don't know why this is, but the shortened weeks sometimes are really tough on people. Maybe it's because you just want to play hooky for the rest of the week, and it's hard to become, let's say, engaged again. So I hope you're going to be engaged by this program. Lock it in. And remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents with me, Kate Delaney, 800-259-5791. You got to love that, giving you the digits at the top. Say it again, 800-259-5791. Well, it's interesting. You watch what's happening in Libya, and it scares me to death over Afghanistan, because remember, we're supposed to start the removal of troops in July. Ultimately, it'll take a couple of years for all the troops to be gone from Afghanistan. And it's interesting because Hamid Karzai was pretty nasty the other day talking about the civilian casualties and slamming the U.S. Granted, civilian casualties, of course, are not acceptable, are not good. But it was the way he went for the jugular and the threats that he leveled at the U.S. We're going to get to that as well during this hour. But first, like I said, let's start with NATO and NATO extending the campaign and extending it until September. So the extension basically, I guess, is kind of a way to show Muammar Gaddafi the determination that we're not going to step away. Now, we know that what's happened and what the rebels are saying is how many people in Misrata have been killed, have been kidnapped, have been used as human shields. They said the list is pretty long. So the NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said that the decision to extend means, you know, we're in this and we're going to stay in this game. He talked about the 90 days. Take a listen.
Our decision also sends a clear message to the people of Libya. NATO, our partners, the whole international community stand with you. We stand united to make sure that you can shape your own future. And that day is getting closer. This decision sends a clear message to the Gaddafi regime. We are determined to continue our operation to protect the people of Libya. We will sustain our efforts to fulfill the United Nations mandate. We will keep up the pressure to see it through.
Yeah, how many of you think when you listen to this, okay, we're going to see it through, we're extending the pressure, but remember, a big chunk of NATO is the U.S. This is the stalemate with Gaddafi because they're not blowing him out. And he'll just stay there. Then this will be more of this massive back and forth, I suppose, all the way through, what, September? A year later we're going to say, yeah, I told you so. He's entrenched. He's got enough people around him. You're not going to be able to get him out unless you take him out. But that wasn't the option. This wasn't the direction that they were going on. Remember from the very beginning that they weren't going to do this. NATO wasn't going to do it, which is part of the United States. And now there's a little bit of the fudging on whether or not we're going to see boots on the ground. What a disaster that would be if we decide, okay, now we're going to put troops in there. And mark my words, I'm going to remember this show. And I'm going to remember that I said I told you so, although many of you would probably agree. This looks like this extends. In other words, it has extended. It extends, but it looks like there could even be boots on the ground, because what are they going to do? Now, Rasmussen said that NATO's made significant progress in Libya after conducting 3,300 airstrikes since March. But still yet, he stands. And that's the question. How do you knock him out? How do you knock him out? Right at the top, let's take one, our leadoff man, Barry in Michigan. Hey, Barry. Well, Barry, you slipped off the dance floor. Sorry about that. We thought we had our leadoff man. He went back to the dugout. So if you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can take Barry's place in the lineup. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. That's the number, my number to call America tonight. All right, so we start off talking about Libya. That's a big deal because I think it, with the 90 additional days, what happens? Gaddafi doesn't go. Sure, NATO's determined. Does it ultimately mean that we are going to see that we have troops on the ground in Libya? I'm sure the president doesn't want that, or the people around the president, if they're playing for re-election, which they are, because that means more lives, more possibilities, and we already are stretched so thin anyway, let's face it. We're not out of Afghanistan. We're not out of Iraq. There's still many soldiers in Iraq. So physically, when you talk about a voluntary, military, what are the possibilities there? What are the possibilities of, well, sure, can we scare up NATO troops and get some people on the ground? Can we invest some of our crews into going into Libya and going into Misrata and whatnot? Sure. But how disastrous would that be? I think it'd be very, very tough for the Obama people to justify that. Because remember, if you go back to what the president said when the Gaddafi stuff started to happen, all of the things have been bubbling up in the Middle East, Tunisia and Egypt and now Libya, we're doing the NATO thing, we're supplying those bombs, but we're not going to have boots, troops in Libya. We're not going to have troops there. Hey, by the way, coming up in this hour of America tonight, very excited, we have a guest joining us from Israel, rather, speaking of the Middle East. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are brewing in that country. And ultimately, in looking at Israel's position in the Middle East, and looking down the road to the future, what does it all mean? And somebody who was in politics there, so somebody who knows the ins and outs when you talk about jihad as an economic policy and what the plans are for post-revolution in Egypt as, you know, Hosni Mubarak goes on trial. So what does that mean? That was the concern. The Muslim Brotherhood, some of them seen as possible jihadists. What ultimately does it mean for Egypt? So coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Avi Lipkin about that very thing from Israel. You won't want to miss that conversation. But next, those tornadoes in Massachusetts, just how bad were they? Coming up.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL21 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL21 at adamandeve.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you want to share with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight, I'll share this. Boy, these tornadoes are scaring the bejesus out of me, let me tell you. Especially since I live in Tornado Alley. You friends across the nation who don't usually have to deal with tornadoes now know what it's like when you wake up, and you feel fortunate you wake up, but you wake up, look out into the street, you have no power, and you see large trees and debris all over the place. You learn that your town of Springfield, Massachusetts, has been declared the site of a disaster. It's a state of emergency. Governor Deval Patrick declared a state of emergency, called up 1,000 National Guardsmen. Why? Because of what I just described. Devastation, wreaking havoc with places who they don't normally deal with it. The South and the Midwest, used to the violent weather, aren't we? And the high winds, not that they don't get winds, not that they don't have power outages or horrific rainstorms, floods, all kinds of stuff. Plenty of things happen in Springfield, Mass. But not usually seeing your neighbor and his neighbor and then the woman around the corner with a house where the roof was ripped off, and there were a lot of people in that situation. Sadly, 4 people also killed, about 40 or so people in the hospital for scrapes and bruises and all kinds of things, broken arms and, you know, whatever. The people who survived it, who were close to the eye of all that went down, feel relieved that they're still breathing, especially when they hear about all these other things. Remember, we're kindred spirits here in these United States. Everybody knows. We talk about all the time on America Tonight. What's buzzing in your backyard? We care about those people in Tuscaloosa and what happened. And we've seen that, the photographs and the video. It's terrible. We've seen what happened in Joplin, Missouri. So you hear tornado and you're in Springfield, Massachusetts. Oh, man. You know, since 1950, Massachusetts, this is how rare, has had about 2 tornadoes per year. But really tepid things, really more dust-ups. And there have been none since 2008. And the last deadly storm was back in 95. Three people were killed then. So they're still searching to make sure there's no other people. But Mother Nature is really laying a heavy load on a lot of us here in the United States, right? Man. Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hello, Don.
Hello, Kate. I was surprised when I heard. I didn't even think they got tornadoes over there in the New England area.
Very rare.
You know, and we had one, that was about, 12, 15 years ago, zipped through Salt Lake, and, you know, but it was only, ground for like 30 seconds and it was gone. You know, it went right through the Delta, it took part of the roof off the Delta Center there, you know, where the Jazz play, but, it's just, I couldn't believe that when I heard it, and I just started thinking, man, is there anywhere you're safe from these things? Peace. And then my other thought was, had that earthquake/tsunami hit that nuclear power plant in Japan. I wonder how one of our nuclear power plants here in the United States would hold up against a tornado.
I don't know. I think it'd be a little bit different. Probably there still could be damage with it depends on, if you're talking about 200 mile an hour winds like what they saw in Joplin, there'd have to be some kind of damage. But I still think the fear and because of the location and stuff would be more for the hurricanes.
I saw an article, Germany, is going to, they have 11 nuclear power plants there and they're going to shut them down, by 2022. That's the goal. And they're going to convert more to solar, wind, and hydroelectric. It's probably going to have quite a price tag to it. Of course, their economy is the best in Europe right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I I'm a big fan of wind power. And by the way, you remember I told you that story about the 1,000 wind turbine farm they were going to build south of Rawlins in Wyoming?
Yeah.
And they had to wait 2 years for an environmental study. Kate, do you know what's 10 miles south of Rawlins, Wyoming? There's nothing. It's just nothing there.
Yeah.
In the middle of, that's the middle of nowhere inside of the middle of nowhere.
man.
And they said it was because of bird migration.
Crazy.
They need to check the bird. And I'm thinking, if a bird is flying along and it sees something spinning up ahead, and it flies into it and gets whacked, maybe it needs to be yanked from the gene pool. What do you think?
Along with those geese that are just brutal, all those geese that are pulling planes down, yeah.
They can see, can't they? They're not flying blind, are they? The things are only about 300 feet high. They can't fly over the top of them or something, or maybe they're Jonathan Livingston Seagull, think they're psycho or something like that, going to fly through the blades or something, I don't know. Anyway, though, I guess just a while back I saw they were going to build a new coal-fired plant up there in Michigan, and it's supposed to put out 78 megawatts, and I'm thinking, well, that's 78 wind turbines, and you're going to tell me it costs, the cost comparison, how much does it cost for 78 wind turbines, and the grid to, put them on the grid, / the price for one that coal-fired plant, / not counting all the pollution that it's going to put out into the sky.
Right.
So I just think it's just, it's probably lobbyists in Washington that have got a big hold of it. I've been trying to talk to you about natural gas.
You have talked about it, how much it would cost, and if there were ways to produce it, to have the cars ready for it,
with there's only one car being built that you can buy, that's probably why Americans have, it costs, to take your vehicle right now, it costs $3,000 to $4,000 to have it converted. Who's got $3,000 or $4,000 laying around to go and have a conversion done, Not many people.
No, not many.
But then at the same time, if there would be a way to where, the government said, that subsidy, the one they just voted on to keep giving to the oil companies? They said, look, unless you guys start supplying natural gas at your gas stations, we're going to yank your subsidy. I bet they'd jump on it right away, Then you talk to the manufacturers and say, look, every company, Ford, Toyota, Honda, they all have a compact car, the Focus, the Corolla, the Civic, whatever. And then they all have a mid-sized car, like the Camry, the Fusion, you know, et cetera, the Accord. And just say, hey, you know, you just need to be able to offer these, you know, offer them optional for people. Not tell people they have to do it, but just say, hey, here's the option. You know, you can spend $4,000 or $5,000, buy the car brand new, you know, and save 50%, 75% on your gas every time you fuel up, or you can keep buying gas. I'm not trying to force this down to you by a shortcut, but I'm like, at least give people the option, you know. And you know, right now, I mean, there's a one-year waiting list to be able to get a natural gas Civic, you know. And I was talking to the guy from Honda. He said, yeah, you've got about a year waiting list. You've got to put a $500 deposit down and wait for a year. And I'm like, well, who wants to wait for a year if they're trying to buy a new car, you know?
Yeah, they need it now. If you need it now, you need it now. You can't wait, yeah.
And then you've got, you know, your local cities, I mean, like Dallas, where you live, and, mm-hmm. you know, and Salt Lake, you know, all the major metropolitan areas, you know, I just can't see how it would be too hard to, you know, to have natural gas options, you know, to where you're, maybe the family's second car, you know, the car dad uses to go to work in the commuter car or whatever, you know, that's the one that's running natural gas, you know, and, you know, so obviously, you know, when, like I was trying to tell you, you know, that the one, I think the only negative to natural gas is that the tank doesn't last as long. You know, you gotta fill it up twice as much as you would with regular gasoline. You know, but gee, to save, you know,
if you do the math over a year, 2 years, 3 years, you multiply it, and for everybody, you think of the disappearing middle class, it would be huge.
Well, you think if you get a car, let's say you buy a Civic, okay? Let's just use that as an example. A gas Civic, and that engine, and you buy a gas, and it lasts, you get 30 miles of the gallon, and it lasts 300,000 miles. Say you drive, you know, 10 years, you put 30,000 miles a year on it. Alright, so you just spent $10,000 in gas, or 10,000 gallons in gasoline on the life of that car. Versus the same car, $5,000 more for natural gas, you'd still spend the same amount of fuel, 10,000 gallons. Well, 10,000 gallons times 350 a gallon, versus 10,000 gallons times $1.50 a gallon, do the math. That's about a $15,000 to $20,000 difference. I mean, you paid for the car. I mean, the car and the gas only, you know, cost $20,000 new. You just paid for the car with the price of the gas.
Yeah, no kidding. What a good idea. The problem is, it's an idea before its time, John. They'll never ever get to it fast enough that we'll see it even in the next decade. Coming up next, we're going to Israel to talk to Avi Lipkin. Stay with us.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you worry? Worried about gas prices or rising food costs? How about the incredible shrinking grocery? Are you looking for a way to supplement your food dollars, increase your nutrition, and prepare for an uncertain future? Would you like all of this to be free? Well, do we have an answer for you? Wild Edible Food. Author Linda Runyon spent many years learning to eat off the grid and many more refining her methods. When she retired from that life, she became dedicated to passing her knowledge on to people just like you. Let Linda show you how to add nutrition, stretch your food dollar, and depend less on established food supply channels. Go to ofthefield.com and take advantage of the same materials that groups, schools, camps, and churches are using to solve some of the problems you may be worried about. Or call 1-888-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com. Or call 1-888-513-2837 and take a big step toward peace of mind.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. Everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at BackyardFoodProduction.com. Again, that's BackyardFoodProduction.com.
You can bet the eyes of the world will be on Hosni Mubarak's trial and his son's on August 3rd. Remember, after holding onto power for about, 30 years, finally he goes to trial. We know this by now, charged with corruption, intentionally killing protesters. And where does this all fall? Where does this fall? Remember, the former president ultimately was forced to do this, transferred power to a military council on February 11th. My question is, and what's so scary to me, now what happens in Egypt following that revolt, Mubarak giving over the reins, who's stepping in? We've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood. What ultimately is that group comprised of? We head to Israel now. Pleasure to welcome to America Tonight Avi Lipkin. Avi is somebody who knows his politics in the Middle East very well. He's an Israeli citizen, a former member of the Israeli Defense Forces, and a very, very, very well-informed U.S. Israel policy, Israeli policy expert. And he's watching, like we are, on Egypt, on what's happening. He's watching very closely, I'm sure. Avi, thanks so much for popping on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me first time.
So tell me about what ultimately, first the trial before we get to what happens next, your thoughts on Mubarak and what's going to happen to he and his sons when it's all said and done.
Well, you know, in Egyptian politics, we go back 4,000 years to the time of Joseph. He saved Egypt from starvation. And then within a very, very short time, everybody forgot who Joseph was and the children of Israel put into slavery. And so, you know, Egypt is a very ungrateful country. Mubarak is a man who protected Egypt and brought foreign investments from all over the world. He maintained a peace agreement with Israel, even though Mubarak himself was really not a good friend of Israel. But he, because of the peace treaty with Israel, many, many international corporations moved to Egypt. Israel, by the way, shut down factories in Israel and moved the factories to Egypt, all for the peace process. Israel was buying gas and oil from Egypt. It was a very, very good situation, really, for Egypt. And after 30 years, he was overthrown for a number of reasons. But the bottom line is the following. The Muslim Brotherhood has been in existence since 1929. In the 1930s, it was a pro-Nazi movement, and it was banned by the King of Egypt, of course, under the British colonial rule. And even Anwar Sadat was a Nazi. And so the Nazism was a very, very popular ideology under the Muslim Brotherhood, and it is today also. In the from 1952 until 1970, until the death of Abdel Nasser, Nasser banned it. Then later, when Sadat came to power and he made peace with Israel, he also tried to patch up with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they killed him. Then came Mubarak, and Mubarak maintained the peace process, but he was very tough on the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood today can control anywhere between 30 and 50% of the vote in the upcoming elections in September. And the bottom line of the Muslim Brotherhood is death to the Jews on Saturday and death to the Christians on Sunday, which means, economically, no more investments from international corporations in Egypt. Nobody's going to want to touch Egypt, because if you are Coca-Cola or Intel or something like that, and you try to open an office in Cairo, and then they kill your people, that really doesn't sound like it's going to work with business.
Yeah, no kidding. And there is one figurehead that has emerged from this. Ultimately, is that what's going to happen, do you think, here, which is, of course, disastrous, because now when we talk about the possibility of jihad and jihadist invasion and all of that stuff, can you imagine this offshoot that you've just described with the Muslim Brotherhood? What are these people in Egypt in for?
In my opinion, because the Saudis have been spending so much money over the last few decades on soup kitchens in the mosques for the poor people, they've basically bought the vote of the majority of the Egyptian people. People are starving there, and they barely get a welfare subsistence diet from the mosque. What's going to happen, my wife, by the way, is Egyptian Jewish, and she was kicked out of Egypt in 69. There are no more Jews in Egypt anymore. The Christians soon will either be genocidally holocausted or they will flee. It'll be ethnic cleansing, and Egypt will become a fanatic Sunni Sharia state, which, as I said before, no international corporation will want to invest in Egypt, which means the Egyptian economy will tank out very soon. The question we have to ask is, will a war with Israel come about a fourth time, in which, you know, Israel will be attacked again a fourth time across the Sinai, which I think is what's going to happen. And then what happens to the Aswan Dam? What happens to Egypt? And I don't know, I don't want to start quoting the Bible. I don't know if this is a Christian radio program or just a conservative or a talk show. But, you know, it does say in the Bible in Ezekiel 29 that Egypt will become a desolation. The Egyptian people flee into the desert, which is something you can understand when a tsunami comes down from Aswan Dam. And that's what's going to happen. If they attack Israel with 3-4 million men coming across Sinai, they're talking about these massive marches to conquer Israel. This is complete insanity. And, of course, you know, I have a 3-year criminal indictment in Switzerland with a 3-year jail sentence for saying that Islam is not a religion. It is a criminal insanity, and it's basically going to lead to the deaths of millions of people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely, and it's differentiating it, and you did that in talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and in talking about the extremism. So when we see what's happened now in Egypt, how would you, you know, what would your assessment, I guess, overall be of the way our president, the way President Obama has handled Egypt since the revolution started?
Well, again, if you are looking at the overall trend in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia was behind the soup kitchens. The key here is soup kitchens. They were behind the soup kitchens in Gaza, and after a period of decades, the PLO was pushed out, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, so-called. It was pushed out by Hamas because Hamas was funded by the Saudis, and Hamas fed the people. Therefore, Gaza became a Hamas stronghold. Turkey today is a fanatic Sunni Hamas stronghold under Erdogan. Erdogan is a Hamas guy, and that's because the Saudis spent all their money on soup kitchens and supermarkets and food chains in Turkey. So Turkey today has a vast majority of fanatic Muslims supporting the fanatic Muslim government because they're being fed. Egypt, the same story. We are going to see this happening throughout the Middle East. So to answer your question, if the President of the United States knows what he's doing, then he knows that Sunni Islam, Sharia Islam, is taking over economically throughout the Middle East. He's and if, as I believe, Mubarak Hussein Obama, your president, his father is a Muslim. In Islamic law, he's a Muslim. And every day that he's alive, he's a Muslim. Because if he really says he's a Christian, he became Christian, he must be assassinated by the Muslims for abandoning the faith. So I believe he is a Sunni. I believe he is supporting the Sunni regimes. And by the way, one of the ways to support, defeat Iran, you know, in the end, we're all going to talk about Iran. Sure. Iran is a Shiite country. It is hated by the Sunnis. And therefore, I believe part of the grandiose overall plan of the President of the United States is to support the fanatic Sunni regimes, which means, of course, the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad in Syria, because he's a Shiite also. And these countries will be swept by a Sunni-Muslim takeover. And then the two threats to Sunni Islam are Israel, the Jews, and Iran, the Shiites.
Mm. Wow. And we're watching all of this unfold as to what's ultimately, you know, what is the bigger picture, and that's what you're describing. We're speaking with Avi Lipkin. He's a speaker, author, co-founder of Israel Today magazine. As I mentioned before, he spent 30 years, actually, in the Israeli Defense Forces in the Reserve, 16 years in the IDF Artillery Reserves, and 14 years as an IDF spokesman, so you know it well. I would be remiss not to ask you this, of course, because we talked about this a ton here on America Tonight. Avi, what was your reaction to the president's statements on the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, and then the return, this was the big one, to the pre-67 borders, you know, talking about, among other things, the Gaza Strip. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, I'm not going to defend President Obama now, but, you know, you'll forgive me for saying this, but President George W. Bush was saying the same thing, and in 2008, he said Palestinian state in 2008. And there is no Palestinian state. The reason there is no Palestinian state is not because of Israel. Israel wants a Palestinian state so we don't have a demographic takeover by the Muslims. They don't want a Palestinian state because what they want is to kill the Jews on Saturday and kill the Christians on Sunday. And so I believe no matter what President Obama says, there will never be a Palestinian state because these people don't want a state and they don't want to live in peace along Israel. They want to destroy Israel, which means a Holocaust of 5 million Jews in the Middle East.
Mm. How upset are the people? I mean, you're there. What's the reaction to the people in Israel to all the things that have been happening lately?
Well, I don't think that there are any surprises here. And like I said before, the policy of the U.S. State Department going all the way back to the Rogers Plan in 1971 was that Israel must go back to the borders of June the 5th, 1967, which is outrageous because the United Nations resolutions 242 and 338 say the opposite. The U.N. resolutions say Israel will hand over peace. Yes, it hand over land, but Israel will negotiate for new borders which are secure, recognized, and defensible. And as an Israeli army spokesman in the reserves, I'm retired now, but one of the first things we were taught that defensible borders for Israel means the Jordan River on the east, half the Golan Heights that we still have in the northeast, and Gaza. And we gave away Gaza, gambling for peace, and we lost the gamble. We got rockets, and we're going to have a lot more rockets pretty soon from Gaza.
Yeah, what a way to end this interview. Avi Lipkin, we'll have you on again. You were terrific. Thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, so you see, going deeper into what ultimately, which was my concern, what happens to Egypt, and as Avi said, ultimately it's really about Iran in the end. Where are we with Iran and, of course, Israel, what ultimately could happen there? You could hear by what he's talking about how difficult it is for them because they're pressed into the middle of all of this. Stay with us.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do the thing till you call for more. I like to reggae, but you dance too fast for me. I like to make my feel. You can make me
Alright, boys and girls, Kate Delaney, you're hanging out in our world called America tonight. If you want to shovel in your two, you know how to do it. So let me give you the digits. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Interesting stuff from Avi Lipkin and this Mubarak trial. You know, ultimately what it's done is for 30 years, I mean, the guy was siphoning off money and he was a cipher. However, it's as Avi said, listen, they moved companies there, factories there, they were buying oil and gas, and now you get the Muslim Brotherhood involved and people saying, whoa, 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 you know, this organization is not riddled with Islamic jihadists. It's just like Hamas. And you heard him connect some of the dots there. So it's scary with this transfer of power to the military and people getting restless in this situation, not liking it. And yet, strangely enough, Mubarak, who could face the death penalty if convicted, you know, after this 18-day revolt, basically, ultimately, with him in power, you did have peace. You did essentially have peace. Not fair for the people, and certainly they were, like I said, getting ripped off blindly. But now, where is Egypt headed? What about all those people that were doing international business? It's going to be dead on arrival, because who's going to do business with thugs who ultimately have something different in mind? Yeah, that's what's scary about what's happening in the Middle East, the uncertainty, and ultimately who's zooming who in some of these groups. We haven't heard the last of the struggles there over land or our involvement in it and in the peace process. And we're going to have more guests on to talk about that, more guests that are familiar with the inner workings of some of these governments and ultimately some of these groups, what really is behind some of the titles. All right, I'm going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions here in a second and hit up what I call the headers, because so much certainly has happened while you were sleeping or while you were on the job, including Sarah Palin's bus tour and the Casey Anthony trial. I said this before, I've got a really good friend who is transcribing everything in that courtroom. She's going to come on with us probably next week and give us the lowdown on what it's been like sitting inside there and listening to all this stuff while family members are being one by one sent up to the witness stand and talking about Casey Anthony and ultimately the situation with Kaylee and the disappearance and what her state of mind was and what about the car that was disappearing and then was towed away and maybe smelled like a decomposed body. It's just all very sickening to me is what it is. And there is a chance. We had a criminal defense attorney on from Southern Florida who said there is a very good chance that she does not, because of the evidence, the lack of pure evidence, there's a very good chance that at least one juror will say no way. And this whole idea that she's going to go down for the murder of her daughter and get the death penalty is maybe on thin ice at this point. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Okay.
Hello.
What a weekend. I see your protege, Blabbermouth Palin, bus tour. She's going to move to Arizona. How'd she end up in New Hampshire? Does she know where Arizona's at?
She's living in...
I heard she's out there in New Hampshire looking for Gettysburg, so...
Well, somebody better tell her where it is if that's the truth, because she's way off the mark then. No, listen, Sarah Palin, Rick, you know this. Sarah Palin is a very popular woman. I said this before. She's like Hillary Clinton. She's very polarizing. People either love her or they don't like Sarah Palin. And, man, they are coming out in droves for this bus tour.
Yeah, just some old fogies falling around last time around.
Listen, she can scare up a bigger crowd than I can.
I don't know. I think you can do better than that.
Maybe I'm going to call up Sarah Palin and see if we can follow behind her and see who gets the bigger crowds. Do you think she'd go for it?
I doubt it.
She wants to stay away from anybody that has anything to do with microphones except for Greta Van Susteren, I think, at this point.
Yeah. But this trial down in Florida, this Casey Anthony, her defense attorney said her dad and her brother molested her.
Yes.
Well, how come they're not arrested and charged with molestation then?
Well, just because the defense attorney threw that out there, that curveball, there's no evidence of that either. And so they're not going to arrest them unless they have some evidence of that. And that's just what the defense is using as the reason why she didn't say anything. And, ultimately saying that the little girl drowned in the pool, which I think, I'm just saying, just by looking at her body language, I'm thinking that that is a trumped up wild story that's been thrown out there.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't be allowed to accuse somebody of that if it never really was true to begin with.
Well, how do you prove that? That's the thing. What evidence does she have? Well, they're saying that she's crazy and that she didn't, she's just saying things and whatever. But yeah, you're right. What if, I mean, sure, you could get on the, you can get on the stand and say whatever you want. It's like I say, the crazy defense drives me nuts. Like Jared Lee Lofner, yeah, Lofner, he might be a little nutty, but this guy's going to get off on saying that he was crazy, and that's why he shot the congresswoman and killed all those people. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think what happened, she gave that baby too much chloroform, but she wanted to party all night. And
killed her by accident.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she actually intended to kill the baby, but she used that chloroform for like a babysitter, you know, because she couldn't afford to have a babysitter, and just gave that kid too much chloroform. But she probably done this several other times, and then got by with it, and then this time just went overboard and giving her too much or something.
You know, that could be not a bad theory, because she just gave her too much, maybe. You're right. We gave her too much.
Yeah.
Then panicked because that wasn't the intention. So now I got to do something. What am I going to do with her body?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Who am I going to turn to? I can't tell anyone. That's why no conversation, no calling anyone in 31 days, whatever, no calling 911.
Yeah.
And then the car smelling and getting rid of the car being towed away, the whole thing. Yeah, that's not a bad theory.
Stole her dad gas cans because she couldn't afford to buy gas and had to ride around figuring out what to do for 30 days.
Yeah.
I think that's
very sad.
What happened. And she went and borrowed a neighbor's shovel. Never ever borrowed a shovel before, but she happened to borrow that day to bury the baby. Well, I think that's probably what happened more than anything. I don't think she intentionally wanted to kill the baby. I think she just overdosed it. That's what happened.
Yeah, that could be. But she didn't. The problem was, if she had done that, what she should have done was called the cops.
Yeah.
And said, oh, my God, I've killed my child. It's an accident. Here's what of course, they could still nail her for manslaughter or whatever, but it would be a different case, kind of case, than this wild, horrific tale that everybody's going through in the courtroom.
It'll be like involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't be that severe, but.
Sure, she wouldn't get the death penalty.
Yeah, I was better just coming out killing the baby. But I think if she'd just come out and admitted it, then probably be better off. But I'd wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Sad stuff, Rick.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It is too bad. It's very, very twisted tale. Hey, you drive safely.
Yeah, you take care.
All right, you too. The music means we are at the finish line. Remember, if you have any thoughts on the show, go to our website. All roads lead there. Facebook, Twitter, Pal Talk. You can see me. I'm waving now. I've got my Roger Federer cap on. I really like Roger Federer. I hope he wins the French Open. Of course, if there was an American, I'd have to say I would pull for the American. But we can't seem to get there anymore to these finals. If you have a kid that's any good at tennis, boy, let him go. Let him play. Let him play. We need some superstars to come back just like, you know, the days of John McEnroe or the days of Andre Agassi or Pete Sampras, they're long gone.